Vedanta Swami Name. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharani. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastuta Deshatani. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivastani Gauravakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Munch cup, Terubius Tankripas, Sindhu, Yayacha. But you tell them now that they be on a patient, they be on a woman. You know, I've been in Russia, and I've been practicing my Russian. You never know, at some point I might just burst out into Russian. But anyway, just one little story, which it's actually a little more likely you've heard of before. Prabhupada, you know his mood. He had all sorts of different moods, and in each mood he was really very outstanding. He also had a wonderful mood or sense of humor. Oh, Krishna, Krishna. It is overwhelming. But thank you. So yes, Prabhupada had a sense of humor. And it was really a very funny sense of humor. And a very nice sense of humor. And one time, Prabhupada was talking to a devotee about how previously, before he had come, 54 years ago tomorrow, how previously he had wanted to go to America. Others, you know, that was, Prabhupada came in 65, and at that time, or, you know, before that time, America was still kind of rising up, and it wasn't so much the center of the world as it tends to be today, at least for many people. Up to that time, England had been the center of the world, sort of, so to speak. And thank you. Oops, very much. Right. So what had been happening? It was well known amongst those who Prabhupada associated with that he wanted to go to the Western world, that he had been instructed by his spiritual master Srila Bhaktisiddhanta to go to the Western world and preach and establish Krishna consciousness. So many people were aware, and many of them would try and advise him where to go, what to do, where to go particularly. So a lot of them had been advising him to go to England, to London. Yeah, because even to this day it's just a funny little sociological phenomenon, but people from London in an international environment, if you ask them where they're from, they don't say England, they say London. If they're from America, normally they would say America. But even to this day, if people are from London, you know, you never met them in that sort of environment, they'll say London. So people have been advising Prabhupada to go to England, to go to London. But Prabhupada was saying that he wanted to go to America. So one devotee then, afterwards, you know, when after Prabhupada had come and the movement was established, Prabhupada was talking to one devotee about this, this whole sort of build-up to his coming, and how he had been advised, but then how he wanted to go to America. And Srila Prabhupada, so Prabhupada was explaining to the devotee about that, and the devotee was trying to congratulate him for, like, astute social judgment, something of that sort. And Prabhupada, you know, ever capable of finding something amusing in a situation, said, yes, well, one of my godbrothers went to England and failed to do anything. Another one went to Germany and he failed also. So the one who went to England, he was failure number one. The one who went to Germany was failure number two. Prabhupada said, so I thought, if I'm going to fail, at least let me fail in a different place. Prabhupada's sense of humor. Yes. Then here's maybe another little story I'm not familiar with, I don't know. When Prabhupada first went to Paris, you know, Paris is France even, and particularly Paris. People are very kind of touchy people. Don't tell them I said it. But, well, don't tell them that I said what I'm going to say right now. But they tend to be a little puffed up and think they're very cultural. And, you know, the British are just a bunch of sudras, which to a large degree is true. But anyway, don't tell them I said that too. But, okay, so Prabhupada was going to go to Paris. And so some devotees went, and some devotees were already there, and they were doing something. And they heard Prabhupada's coming, so they wanted to do a nice program. So they wanted to rent the top theater in the city, or the country actually, for Prabhupada to do a public program. It's like the equivalent, I guess, in Durban of the Durban Town Hall, I suppose. Up here, I'm not sure what, but you know what I mean. That sort of very prestigious type place. So in Paris, at least then, I don't know, maybe now, there was a theatre called the Olympia Theatre, which was that place for Paris. Super duper. It seated some thousands of people, and it was just the top place. So this one devotee, Harivilas Das, who's actually American, but he spoke French fluently, he went to see the management of the Olympia Theatre. And this is, it must have been 1970, just after the installation of Radha London Ishwara in Berry Place in London. So he walked in, he somehow got to meet with the big manager there, and he told him, you know, the guru of the Beatles is coming to Paris. And at that point, the Beatles were still, you know, just in this kind of otherworldly type of status. Yeah. And so the man was really taken aback. Really? The guru of the Beatles? Yes. And we're going to have a big program to welcome him to Paris. Really? Are the Beatles coming? Oh, yes. They'll be there. He's just sort of fudging it. as he goes, oh yes, of course the Beatles will be there. Really? Yes, you know, everybody who's anybody will be there. Will Johnny Hallyday be there? Did you ever hear of him? He just died a year or two ago. He was the French equivalent of the Beatles. Yeah. So is he coming? Yes, of course. Oh, yes, all right. So, and the man said, well, you know how much it costs? Because it was, I didn't know what it cost, but it was, we're talking about thousands. And the devotee said, well, you know, he's such an important person, and there are going to be so many important people. It'll be so prestigious for you. You'll get so much publicity. You must let us use the hall as a donation. So the man agreed. The man agreed. And Prabhupada came. And the Beatles did not come. And neither did Johnny Hallyday. And actually, you know what happened? The only, I think, about 50 people came. Something like that. In this just gigantic, cavernous hall seating several, some number of thousands. Yes, but Prabhupada was happy and the program went nicely. And afterwards Prabhupada walked out of the theater. Everyone went out afterwards. And Prabhupada went out and the devotee, the driver, had parked the car some distance away and had not been sort of tuned in sufficiently to go out earlier and bring it to the front to be ready to meet Prabhupada. Right, you know, as the program ended, he ran off and Prabhupada had to wait like 15 or 20 minutes for the car to come. And just outside the Olympia Theatre was a cafe, a typical Parisian cafe. Yeah. So the devotee, I don't know who, but said to Srila Prabhupada, would you like to sit down in the cafe? And Prabhupada asked, do the people smoke and drink there? And the devotee said, well, yes, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, Guru cannot sit in such a place. So he didn't go inside. Yeah, he just stood outside and waited for the driver. So, yes, so Prabhupada. Here's, anyway, those were sort of to do with early days. Here's just a very general little snippet, which I don't know if you've heard. But Prabhupada was discussing somewhere about temple management and who should be in what role in the temple. You know, like, the treasurer, the secretary, the president, the head cook, head of the kitchen. And Prabhupada said, well, and they're discussing certain names. And Prabhupada was saying, well, perhaps he's suitable, not him, no, he's not suitable, like that. Because he knew these people. And Prabhupada said, actually, no. The treasurer, the one who's, you know, particularly handling the petty cash and not exactly like a bookkeeper, but a little bit of bookkeeping, but handling petty cash and the cash book. Prabhupada said, it is good if the treasurer is a little thin. And then they're talking about the head cook, who should be. him, no, him, maybe, him, I don't know. Robert said, so yes, the treasure should be a little thin, and the head cook should be a little fat. Yes. And, yeah, during that discussion, apparently, Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is so simple. It's just so simple. A child can get it. Like our Bhaktin Shreya, in case you don't know her, that's her just there, right, right in the center, who is chanting or doing her best to chant 16 rounds a day. As much as possible. At the age of how many years now? Eight, still eight. When are you going to be nine? In December. Right, okay. Yes, yeah, so Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said, it's so simple that a child can understand. And Prabhupada said, actually, Krishna consciousness is so simple that you may miss it. You may miss it. Sort of pass it by and not notice that it was there, that sort of thing. You may miss it, expecting some sort of very sophisticated, involved, and, you know, voluminous type of thing. Now, I could tell you a story, which I think you haven't heard, but there's, you know, arguably, it might be a little bit of a problem for someone because it involves indirectly, or a little directly too, one spiritualist from India who passed away, I don't know when, but some time ago. But he was famous, named Chinmayananda. I imagine you've heard of Swami Chinmayananda. You heard of Swami Chinmayananda? You heard? All right. And Prabhupada sort of pointing out a shortcoming. Would it offend anyone? What do you think, Nanda Kumar Prabhu? No comment. Or should I just? Okay, we'll blame you. So there was this devotee, actually came to South Africa some years ago, it might even be 10, at least several years ago, Srinathji from Mumbai. I don't know if you remember him. He was very close with Prabhupada in Mumbai. Although he wasn't initiated, he was initiated later, after Prabhupada left, by Radhanath Maharaj, a really nice devotee, such a nice devotee. And he was a follower of Swami Chinmayananda. And he was close to Swami Chinmayananda, like one of his sort of inner circle. And this Chinmayananda used to claim to be God, sometimes, apparently. Yeah. So, but now Srinathji Prabhu, he had contact with the devotees and Prabhupada, and he was coming, step by step, coming closer to Prabhupada and to ISKCON and Krishna consciousness. So he was kind of like a little caught between, you could say. And he felt, you know, some impelled towards Prabhupada and ISKCON, but still attachment to Swami Chinmayananda. So one day, he and Srila Prabhupada were having a discussion. about Swami Chinmayananda. And Srinathji Prabhu, not initiated at that time, he was Dr. N.K. Desai at that point. So he told Prabhupada that, well, actually, he says he's God. Prabhupada was not appreciative of people who said they were God, unless they were. In this day and age, there's a shortage, extreme. So Prabhupada was not impressed. And Prabhupada said, I want you to send a challenge from me to him. Will you do that? That whatever table is in the center of the room, he must lift it and hold it with one hand for 7 minutes. One hand. So Srinathji went back to our Swami Chinmayananda, with all due respect, and said, this is the challenge from the Hare Krishna Swami Bhaktivedanta. This is the challenge. And Chinmayananda Swami said, yes, what is the challenge? So there's, you know, as usually, you know, like even say this table, just some table was there. And so Srinathji said, well, his challenge is, and I think left hand actually, can you lift this table and hold it for 7 minutes? And Swami Chinmayananda replied, that's ridiculous. How's it possible? And so Srinathji was not impressed. He was not impressed. And he went back and told Prabhupada, this is what happened. And Prabhupada said, yes, see, Krishna held Govardhan Hill with one hand for 7 days and 7 nights. And then Srinathji decided, right, okay. And he surrendered to Prabhupada. Yeah. Well, let me tell you another sort of related story. It's nothing to do with any Swami at all, except Prabhupada. And this, again, you may have heard. Had you heard that before?
No.
No? Okay. This one you may have. Yes. Okay, anyway. Let's see. Now here's an interesting little story. For any of you gentlemen, sincere and serious devotees, who may now at this point be thinking of possibly taking sannyas. And it's also from Mumbai. There was one devotee. I think some of you would have heard of him. Some of you may have seen him. He never came here. Sridhar Swami, disciple of Prabhupada, and just a really wonderful devotee. Just so wonderful. And who was very dear to Prabhupada. And he was a very sort of open, transparent type of person. There were no facades and putting on a bit of a show to make impressions on people at all. He was just the way he was. And so the idea came, he was a brahmachari, and he got the idea that he would like to take sannyas. And so one time, he was based in Mumbai. Prabhupada came. Prabhupada would come fairly regularly. And so one time he got to meet with Prabhupada. And he asked Prabhupada, can I take sannyas? And Prabhupada asked him, are you 100% sure you will not fall down? You heard the story before. Okay. Are you 100% sure you won't fall down? So Srila Maharaj, as always, very humble, straightforward. He said, no, I'm not 100% sure. Then Prabhupada asked him, are you 75% sure you will not fall down? And Srila Maharaj thought momentarily and said, no, I'm not 75% sure. And then Prabhupada asked him, are you 50% sure that you can maintain sannyas strictly and properly? And Srila Maharaj Prabhu at the time, he said, yes, I think 50%. I think 50%. And Prabhupada said, all right, then you can take sannyas. And Prabhupada gave him sannyas. And he was really nice. I knew him, you know, I knew him fairly well, definitely. I mean, very nice relationship. He actually helped me, not just helped me, but he bought for me my first computer. Yes. I mean, I paid, but he did, you know, he was a computer fanatic. So, Sridhar Swami, I remember, I don't know if you'll appreciate this, but it's not a Prabhupada story. But in his room in Mumbai, where I would spend time sometimes, then on the wall was a cartoon. Well, it's sort of like a cartoon with a few stages in it, like a comic strip, sort of, yeah. And in it, it's a Krishna conscious comic strip. And in it, first of all, we are outside the temple building. Temple building's there, but we're now out in the street somewhere. So an initiation ceremony is going on. And so you hear, what are the four regulative principles? Next picture in the strip. As I recall, it was, anyway, in the strip, next picture. So the four principles are spoken. And how many rounds will you chant? It's now the third picture in the strip. Fourth picture, not less than 16. And next, now suddenly we're in the temple in the last picture. And what is the last picture? Then the disciple says, then I will accept you as my spiritual master. She has found a sense of humor. Yeah. I mean, it's pertaining to skeptics, cynics. You know, we have those types of people. I mean, of course, it's a fact there have been spiritual masters who've fallen down. Shame. But anyway, that was that. And I could just mention, and it's just by the way, really, that one time I was in New York, it might have been 95 or so, and it was New York Ratha Yatra. And it was Pandava Nirjala Ekadasi. Yeah. And New York Ratha Yatra. It's a very big Ratha Yatra. The actual procession is bigger than Durban. Yeah. you know, but then they reach the park at the end, and then there's just a few hours there, and that's it. But the procession is big. It's really big. And it was part of the Nirjara Ekadasi. So he and I and various other devotees, we were fasting for Pandava Nirjara Ekadasi. And then at the end, so it all finished, we went back to the temple, and he told me, you know, I have tickets to a shelter concert. You know what shelter was, not is? It was a, what they call straight edge punk rock band of devotees. And there was another group, 108. They were also, so we went. Yeah. Late at night. They had invited us, or they invited him, and he wanted someone to go with. Anyway, I diverge. I really do. So let's just say something about Prabhupada. Oh, here's something nice, which I don't know if you heard of or not. But Prabhupada was in London, I think the first visit. Anyway, one of the first. Anyway, he was in London, one of the earlier visits. And that was before we had Bhaktivedanta Manor. And the only temple in London was right in the center, in a street called Berry Place. And it was not big. It was, anyways, like a, I think, 5 or 6 story building, but small. And Prabhupada's rooms are on the level above ground. Were. Yeah, so Prabhupada would walk. He would walk sometimes around, you might not be familiar with central London, but there are parks. A number of parks around central London, means small parks, but very pleasant. Sometimes he'd go around them, and sometimes he'd go to Regent's Park, which is a little out of the exact center, and it's a big, very elaborate park. So sometimes he'd go walking through Regent's Park, and one time, what happened now? Let's see. So Prabhupada was walking around Regent's Park and there were some flowers. And the devotee, one of the devotees with Prabhupada, asked Prabhupada, when we offer flowers to Krishna, do their spirit souls go back to the spiritual world? That's a good question, isn't it? Have we thought of that? Anyway, it's a very Krishna-conscious question. Do they go back to the spiritual world? So Prabhupada remained silent momentarily. And then Prabhupada said, yes, but factually, they're already in the kingdom of God. Then he stopped and looked around and waved his walking stick and pointed around a bit with his walking stick and said, pointing to different birds, there were some people, and plants, and so on, and said, they're all in the kingdom of God. And the devotees said, yes, Srila Prabhupada, but they're not aware they're in the kingdom of God. And Prabhupada replied, that is the duty of a spiritual master, to make them aware. When another time, Prabhupada was there in the winter. In the winter. And walking in Regent's Park. And there was, you know, winter in London. The people talk about England, how it's wet and it's miserable. It's nothing. Huh. It's just almost subtropical. I mean, it's very subtropical, but, you know, it's not so cold. But in the winter, sometimes, overnight, you get ice forms over ponds or little puddles and things. And Prabhupada was walking, and with his cane, Prabhupada poked a hole in, it's just a puddle, nothing very substantial at all, but ice had formed. Prabhupada poked a hole through the ice with his walking stick, and it went through and into the water underneath. And Prabhupada said, yes, this is like material consciousness. There is a covering over the top of it. And we must break through the covering. So that's Krishna consciousness. Then they were walking and they came to a place where a bird had made its nest in a tree directly over the path. You know, it's like an asphalt path through the park, and bird has made nest and is living there, and you know what was sort of, there was a bit of a build-up of bird stool on the path. And Prabhupada stopped and pointed to the bird stool and said, what does this mean? And the devotees were a bit stunned. But then Prabhupada said, this means the bird is attached to living in one place. And he's become attached to living there. And like this, we're attached in this world. Another time, well, Prabhupada was in Edinburgh, Scotland. And Prabhupada was sitting there, and it was kind of grey Scottish day. Suddenly, the clouds parted, and just like a beam of sunlight, very clear, entered the window and lit up the whole room. And Prabhupada said, when you become Krishna conscious, it is like this. Here's a story you've heard before, but you know, you haven't heard it exactly, because we heard it from the devotee who was there, and he got involved in it and kind of made a bit of a fool of himself. It was Rameshwar, if you've ever heard of him, who's now, you know, he's back involved in Krishna consciousness, very involved, it's nice. So, a cynical reporter was trying to interview Prabhupada, and the man challenged, I've heard that you claim that God is speaking to you directly, telling you what to do. Prabhupada said, yes. Then, so Rameshwar was sitting there, and he said he could just feel the skepticism of the person, of the report. He could just feel it. And he felt, you know, I have to interject and kind of defend Prabhupada or clarify in such a way that it makes Prabhupada sound not unreasonable. Otherwise, to many people, it would sound unreasonable. So Rameshwar said, yes, well, you know, that, oh, and he added, I mean, the reporter said, that Krishna tells you who to appoint as members, as GBCs. And Prabhupada said, yes. And Rameshwar then tried to explain. He said, you know, the thing is, so he just sort of interrupted, as the famous saying goes, don't talk while I'm interrupting. So Rameshwar interrupted Prabhupada. Talk about bold. Foolishly. And said, well, actually, no, the thing is this. That in Bhagavad Gita and other scriptures, there are descriptions of the characteristics and qualities of a leader in Krishna consciousness. And when Prabhupada sees that someone has such qualities, then he feels, yes, this person could have such a role. And Krishna's in everyone's heart, so he can give guidance and direction like that. This is what he means. Prabhupada looked at Rameshwar and shook his head. Why are you saying this nonsense? Krishna will speak to you directly. You will see him and hear him. Every decision I make, Krishna is telling me to do it directly. Hare Krishna. Interesting. Let's see. Okay, here's another very similar one. Okay. So, Prabhupada is giving, he's having a darshan. Few devotees are there. And Prabhupada's speaking, and then he looked at Tamal Krishna Goswami and one other sannyasi whose name isn't mentioned, and said that he referred to a verse, just referred to it sort of a little indirectly, and said, can you quote this verse? And they looked at each other, and each one of them thought, he will quote the verse. But neither of them could do it. And Prabhupada said, just see, you are not reading my books. Every day you have to read, study, learn my books, just like lawyers, like a lawyer learns the law books. You must know everything, chapter and verse. If you don't know, how will you preach? Unless you know my books, how will you teach the devotees? You know that every day I read my own books. Do you know why I read my books? They were silent. I mean, at a certain point when Prabhupada was, the questions became rhetorical, and it was better just to remain silent. So, Prabhupada said, I read my books every day because even I learn something new when I read my books. These are not my books. I do not write my books. Then the devotee said, It seemed at that point something mystical came over Prabhupada, sort of. He entered into like a different dimension of consciousness. Prabhupada said, every morning when I sit here to write my books, Krishna comes personally and dictates to me what to write. I simply take dictation from Krishna to write these books. Therefore, when I read them, I learn something. And the devotee said, the way Prabhupada said it was so dramatic that they felt the weight of his words. And the devotee thought, I'm speaking. I'm in the presence of a person who is speaking with God, who's right next to God. He's so close. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Here's an interesting one. Little one. I don't even know who it's from, but I picked it up. I mean, I actually got it off the internet. The devotees made a cake. On it were different little marzipan thingies, including a marzipan cow. And Prabhupada dryly commented, oh, so now you want me to eat cow. So just remember that. You know, if you ever get into such a situation where you make a cake or make something edible, don't make cows. As you better to not make creatures. Even when I had just joined and we just got Bhaktivedanta Manor, but I was stationed in the center of town in Berry Place, Shamsunda, who was Prabhupada, he was the GPC at the time in England, and he had been the personal servant of Prabhupada for some time. And he, but now he's there in Bhaktivedanta Manor, and really dynamically trying to invite famous people and to meet Prabhupada. And so for the invitations, he designed some letterhead, special letterhead. And in the letterhead, in some position, and it was with a decorative border around it, little pictures, there was a picture of a cow's head, you know, or a bull's head with horns. You know, they make these decorations sometimes on the wall, an animal that's been killed with the head on the wall. So it was just a little picture like that of a cow's head. And Prabhupada saw that, and I tell you what, we were in Berry Place in the center of London. We heard the explosion. Wow. Prabhupada really hated it. He really didn't appreciate it at all. Okay, so here we go, devotees. I think it's going to be the last one. Let's see. Here's one you may have heard. It's an amusing one. It's a nice one. This is in Laguna Beach, America. There's a temple there and has been since those days. So the temple president approached Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, one of our members, like life member type business person, he has offered us a whole lot of peanut oil, very cheap. And, you know, peanut oil is commonly used for cooking. Like in England, I can inform you, at least when I was there, the Gujaratis, I mean the Indian people there, who are 90% Gujaratis, they used to use peanut oil. Yeah, it was the common oil. So, okay, so our friend, our member, he is offering us this peanut oil very cheap. Is it okay if we use it? Like a whole lot of it. And Srila Prabhupada said, it is not very good. And the devotee said, but Prabhupada, it is very cheap. We will be able to pay more to the BBT. Prabhupada said, it is not very good. And then a third time, the temple president said, you know, but this or that or something, how, you know, it's very advantageous. And Prabhupada told him, just do whatever you like. And then the devotee said, I mean, Prabhupada's mood was just very, you know, like, he wasn't impressed at all. So the president said, oh, is it not good to use peanut oil? Prabhupada said, I knew one man at night. He ate a lot of pakoras fried in peanut oil. President asked, what happened to him, Prabhupada? Prabhupada answered, the next morning he died. There was no more talk about using peanut oil. Well, okay, look, what I'm going to do is just one more, which you may or may not, I mean, I don't know, you may or may not have heard before, but it's very instructive, and it's just really, I mean, it's a powerful story, so just bear with me, if I can find it. Right, so this one devotee, his name, would you believe, was Nanda Kumar, but a different one. A different one. So Nanda Kumar, Hare Krishna, had just become, I think he may have been a sannyasi, he became a sannyasi, possibly was already. And he'd just become Prabhupada's main assistant, like the day, maybe 2 days before. And it was hectic. It was really hectic, being Prabhupada's main assistant. And for the first time, he said, for the first time as a devotee, he had not finished 16 rounds the day before. Yeah, he had only done 14. And, you know, of course, he was thinking the following day he'd make them up. So, okay, now it's next morning. He's just got up. early in the morning, and he's just gone in to see Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada just looked at him and said, "So, are you chanting all your rounds?" Yeah. And so Nanda Kumara said, "Well, actually, you know, I was only able to do 14 yesterday, but I will make them up the next day." So Prabhupada replied, "When you are regularly chanting 16 rounds, it is like a young child learning to walk with the help of the mother. Because the mother is holding the child's hand, when the child starts to fall, the mother holds him up and he doesn't actually fall. It is the same with chanting. If you are completing 16 rounds and start to fall down, Krishna will hold you up and not allow that to happen." Then Srila Prabhupada, with his eyes open very wide and with a transcendental move of his hand back and forth in front of his face, said, "However, if you are not chanting at least 16 rounds every day, your whereabouts are unknown, and you will definitely fall down." Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Go Premanande. So, thank you for listening very attentively. I hope you learned something or things. Shall we now continue with the program? Bapuji? Tikchai? Okay. So now we're going to have Arati, I believe.